Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
I'll try to keep my yas and you betchas to a minimum so everyone can understand me. But it's great to see everyone this morning. If you haven't heard, we're doing a lot on evangelism, doing a big evangelism push. We had Brother Rob Whitaker come 2 weeks ago and did 7 lessons on evangelism. And Brother David has put a lot of work into this class on evangelism that he started last week. If you haven't filled out one of these, the prospects for souls, make sure you fill these out, get some names down, find some souls. Like Brother Glenn talked about this morning, you know, we need to share the word. That's our goal, whether, you know, everyone listens or not. That's not entirely on us, but our goal is to share the word as many seeds as we can. So prospects, let's make sure we're writing down names, filling out names. That's going to be a big part of the Bible class with David and I. There will probably be some homework, so make sure we're getting names filled out. Last week, again, Brother David, he kicked off the study on evangelism. He hit a couple of easy points that we can all remember, right? Evangelism, it doesn't require a degree. It doesn't require a degree in rocket science. We can all do it. If we're Christians, we can share the gospel. We know what we need to know to be able to share. Jesus, he shows us how to evangelize. This morning again, Brother Glenn shared in John chapter 4. David shared it last week, the woman at the well. It's a great example on how to evangelize and to share the gospel. Also remember, evangelism is teamwork. We're not doing it by ourselves. We have lots of great resources in here. I myself, this is not one of my strong suits. So if there's any help, you know, we can go to our brothers and sisters that are good at this. Glenn and Paul are two who are really good at this. So asking for help to be able to share and working as a team. And then the harvest is ready. We want to share the good news. It's great news. It provides us our salvation, so we need to work hard and to share the gospel. So we know harvesting, it doesn't require a degree. We know we can go out there and we can do it. We're Christians. So this morning our lesson is there are no excuses. The lesson today, we're going to look first at a good biblical example of not using excuses. And then we're going to look at another good biblical example of someone who did use some excuses. So the first example we're going to talk about is a godly man named Stephen. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, Glenn, he referred to him a couple of weeks ago as our brother. Stephen is our brother in Christ. I'd not thought of him that way, but that really makes it personal, doesn't it? Our brother was stoned to death for sharing the gospel. In Acts chapter 7, in verses 54 through 60, we see that. Can you imagine that slow death, that painful death of people standing around you throwing rocks at you? They're so angry, they're so mad that they're standing around throwing rocks at you till you pass away. It seems like you'd have so much hate to be able to do that. Even if I don't like someone, I cannot imagine myself going and throwing rocks at them until they die. But they did not want to hear Stephen evangelize. Thankfully, today, we don't have to worry, at least here in the U.S., right now, about being stoned to death for sharing the gospel. So the point is, our brother Stephen, he was willing to evangelize, even if that meant he was going to die and be stoned to death. So that makes any excuse that we can come up to not evangelize seem irrelevant, doesn't it? When our brother can do that, the worst case response we're going to hear is maybe an angry no, or a no thank you, something like that. When we think and we have the thoughts in our head, should I share? Should I evangelize? Is this the right moment? Is this not? It's always the right moment. We can think about Stephen and what he did. Stephen spoke up to a mob with rocks in their hands that were ready to kill him just to share the gospel. So yes, we can do this. There are going to be many that maybe we speak to, that we try, and they turn away. But our goal is to spread the gospel and to share the word of God. And it may not be right now. We're all used to the Burger King, have it your way right now type of deal. Our goal is to share the gospel, to spread those seeds. And it may be a few years before those seeds take hold. But that's our goal. We want to spread the word of God. So let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read the first four verses in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And Saul approved of his execution. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. There's so many lessons we can learn here, isn't there? So many lessons we can learn from the early church. I'm so impressed with the response from the saints after the stoning. It could have been easy for them to say, man, if this is what happens when you speak up, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say anything. Or maybe they could have said, you know what, we still believe in Christ, but let's not say anything. We don't want to disrupt anyone. Let's just keep it to our house and keep it quiet. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. But that wasn't their response. Instead, this tragic event, it only furthered the cause for Jesus. The saints were not going to be silenced. God's people in the first century, they had no excuses. So that's what we must do today. They shared the gospel at all costs. Their lives were suddenly disrupted, yet they continued to do God's work, even in the event of being stoned and killed. They could be put into prison, they could be killed for their beliefs, yet they continued to do the Lord's work. Nothing was going to get in their way of accomplishing God's great work that he'd given them. So what about us? When it comes to evangelism, do we ever come up with excuses? Do we ever have excuses? I know I have had plenty of excuses in my life. The good news is again, we don't have to be feared being stoned like Stephen was. At least not right now in the U.S. Now I want to look at a good biblical example of someone giving excuses. If I were to ask you this morning for you to rattle off some names of great leaders in the Old Testament, what would you say? Moses? Joshua? Any other ones? Who? Caleb? David? Solomon? Lots of great names, right? Lots of great examples. I would argue that Moses is, like you said, probably one of the first ones you would think of, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. And it's ironic that this morning we're going to use him as an example of making excuses to God. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. That's where we're going to be for a little bit. We're going to look at some common excuses that hold Christians back from sharing the Word of God. And we're going to look at our brother Moses. So Exodus 3, we're going to start in verse 10. Exodus 3, verse 10. It says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God told Moses to go and bring his children out of Egypt. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? God tells us to go and bring his children out in the world by sharing the gospel, right? The Great Commission is how Brother Glenn ended his lesson this morning. So we're going to look at some excuses from Moses. So if we look at verse 11, how did Moses respond to God when he tells him to go out? Verse 11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" So here's our first excuse. We can also say this, right? Who am I that I should tell someone about the Bible? I'm not the preacher at West Huntsville. I'm not one of the teachers. I'm not on the staff. I'm not getting paid to do this. However, we are. We're Christians, right? We're on God's staff. We're getting paid with our eternal reward. We work for Christ. We just decided to be part of the Lord's church when we were baptized. That's when it became no longer what I do with my time, but what does the Lord want me to do with my time? Now turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 9. We're going to hop around a little bit. Luke chapter 9. We're going to read verses 23 through 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" Isn't this a great passage? It's so strong, isn't it? If we want to save our life, we have to lose it. That means we don't always get what we want, but we need to do work for the Lord. This life is not about us. If we try to save our life, if we try to make our lives about us, we're going to lose it. So what does it profit if we gain the whole world, but we lose our soul? It's so easy for us to get caught in the world today and the materialistic things, everything that goes on around us. But at the end of this scripture here, the big motivation for me to share the gospel, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory." That needs to get us out of our comfort zones and make me want to invite as many people as possible to church and to share the gospel. Also, if you remember, in Exodus, it says, "But I will be with you." Just as God told Moses that he will be with him, the last thing the Lord tells us before he left in Matthew 18, 19, 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Two times we read there that the Lord is with us. Again, we're not alone when we do this. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we also rely on God and have him right there beside us. I use this to help share the gospel. This has really helped me to have the courage to say what I need to say, to invite someone to church. He has asked me to do this. We can do it. The Lord has my back. So let's turn back to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read more about Moses. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.'" You know, we can say this too, can't we? Well, if I go evangelize, what am I supposed to say? It's one of the most common reasons for not sharing the gospel. I can't teach someone. You know, that's the point of this class this quarter. That's the point of Rob Whitaker coming 2 weeks ago and all the great lessons that Glenn is sharing. We can share the gospel. Few Christians teach because it's natural to them, but we can all teach if we're willing to learn and to change. Just like Peter was changed. People are brought to Jesus by people. The Lord sees us like Peter. Peter could not have imagined the great works he could do when he followed Christ. Christians, we must be changed into soul winners because the harvest field is white and waiting. Last week, David shared a great picture up on the slideshow of a field of cotton. God is counting on us to harvest. And he tells us what scriptures to say. Think of repent and be baptized in Acts 2:38. He tells us what to say. That's just one of the many verses that he already tells us. It's sharing the gospel that we already know. The Lord is sending us to the lost. We're his disciples. We're his children. Like our earthly father telling us to go tell someone, what would we say? Yes, sir. Sometimes with the boys, I have to remind them. They'll say yes, and I'll say, yes, what? And then I'll say, yes, what? Yes, what? Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. That's our should be our answer to the Lord, right? Yes, sir. Here I am, Lord, send me, right? And then in Exodus chapter 4, Moses gives us another response. So he's already said, who am I? And he said, what do I say? And chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. So here's our third excuse on the list. We can say this, fine, you know what, I'll go tell others, but no one's going to believe me, no one's going to listen to me. The amazing thing to us is that Moses had witnessed the miracle of God just before this, the burning bush, and it not burning up. God even directly speaks to Moses. He said, Moses, this is God. This is who I am. We think, Moses, what are you thinking? Why don't you get this? We can do that too, don't we? We don't say yes, sir, sometimes. We think, well, if that would have been us, we would have said, sure, God, of course I would have got it, right? God can count on us. But if we often have the same response that Moses did when it comes to sharing the gospel like he told us to do. We say, people aren't going to listen to us. Maybe they don't care. What's the use? That's true. He tells us the majority maybe aren't going to care or don't care. But our job is to share the gospel, to share the word. And then Moses, we see another response. If you look at Exodus chapter 4, we're going to read verses 10 through 12. We're going to see another response from Moses. He already says, who am I? And then he says, what do I say? And then he says, no one's going to listen to me. But in verses 10, it says, but Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in this past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. We can say this too, right? I'm not an eloquent speaker. I know I'm not a good speaker. I put people to sleep every week doing a safety presentation to our new hires. Every week I put someone to sleep. It's hard to make safety exciting, but we can say this too. I'm not a good speaker. I might mess this up. I get nervous. Maybe I'm going to get embarrassed. What if they don't like me as much after I share it? It's easy to just not say anything at all. But God is the one who made our mouth. He's the one who made the mute, the deaf, or the blind. So we need to stop with the excuses and go. Remember that I will be with you. God gives us the very air that we breathe. We are nothing without God. And actually, if you find when you share the gospel with someone and maybe they say no thank you, or they turn down the invite to come to church, if it's someone you know, it seems like they do respect you a little bit more, right? That you're willing to share the gospel and share with someone, even though they may have turned you down. So we think, maybe Moses finally gets it now, right? We've heard a couple of excuses. We've heard him say, who am I? What do I say? They won't listen to me. We've heard him say, I'm not a good speaker. And now in verse 13, we hear another thing from Moses. We say, in verse 13, it says, "But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else." This sounds like a child making excuses to get out of work, doesn't it? Just send someone else. Have Caleb do it. He's bigger. He can handle it. We can say this, can't we? I'm just going to let someone else do it. Brother Paul, he's great at sharing the gospel. Let's let Paul talk to someone, but let's let Paul do it. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm comfortable with. I'm not going to do it for the Lord, but the Great Commission is for all Christians to share. Like it's been said before, go ye means go me, all of us. We're as a team. So when we read the story of Moses, it reminds us of what not to do. But we also need to be encouraged to see how God encouraged him and God loved him. Moses needed encouragement leading God's people out of bondage, and Moses loved and believed in God, didn't he? However, God records the details of this conversation for us to learn from Moses. We can love and believe in God. However, we still have to overcome our fear of man and fear of sharing the gospel. Last week, David showed a picture of scales up on with the scales of fear and the scale of sharing the gospel up higher. So we need to have that scale of sharing the gospel is what's leading us and weighing us down instead of the fear leading our lives. We must avoid the excuses that Moses has here because our goal, our mission is to share the gospel throughout the world. So we have to have targets and prospects. We have these great target cards. There's lots of these out on the foyer out there. We need to be conscious and paying attention to what's going on around us, getting those targets. Who can we share the gospel to? Like David said last week, as you're walking around out in public, keeping your head up, talking to people, having a smile, paying attention, making those contacts, and inviting people, because our goal is to share the gospel to as many people as we can. So if you're nervous about presenting the gospel, about sharing the gospel, one thing, again, I'm not very good at. I kind of panic and get nervous, and then all of a sudden forget my entire notes, and my brain goes blank, right? So instead of coming up with things on our own, there's lots of great resources we can use to help. On the West Huntsville website, we have something called the Big Picture of the Bible. You can go on the website, you can click on it, it's in the top. The nice thing about it is it's a really neat slideshow that goes through start to end. It has lots of great notes in it, in the little note slide, to help remember, you know, to prompt you to remember what you need to say. We already know what to say, but sometimes we forget. This is a great tool for being able to share the gospel in case you do forget or your brain goes blank. So you click on it, you can share this, you know, you can share this online. If you have friends that are maybe not of the area, you can look it up on your phone. You can pull it up. It's mobile. So if you're sitting and having coffee with someone at Starbucks or you're at McDonald's or something like that, you can pull it up on your phone. You can go through it with someone in a public place. Super easy to do. It has the notes right there for you to be able to share. It's a great resource on the West Huntsville website. So make sure you take some time. You don't have to memorize it. Just practice it every once in a while. It takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes to go through, but it's absolutely a great resource to help. You can have it on your phone. We all have our phones on us. I feel weird if my phone's not in my pocket, right? Everyone has it. It's something easy that we can pull up and have available to us right in a moment's notice. We can always be ready to share the gospel if we have, you know, have something like that available. So like I said, maybe it takes 10, 15 minutes to practice, to read through. You don't have to memorize it, but it's an absolutely great resource that we have available to us. Like I said, the nice thing about the PowerPoint on the website, you know, it reminds us with things to say, with scriptures that we may forget. It has all that great stuff in there to be able to remind us. You can share it on Teams, on Zoom, you know, whatever it is, it makes presenting the Bible easy. However, this is not the only way to share. There's lots of different ways, right? Paul Owens does a great how to get into Christ method, Christ class. I went through this with Paul. It's just a front and back page on how to share. And again, it's pretty similar to the PowerPoint on the site. But again, something easy with just a few notes. You can sit down, you can do it in a couple different sessions with someone. Just a good reminder with lots of notes. It's a great class. There's lots of techniques. We're going to go through some as we go through all the classes this quarter. There's lots of different ways. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, but there's lots of great resources for us. Remember, it's not rocket science. Since we're Christians, we can all work together and share the gospel. Avoid rabbit trails is one of the big things. That can kill time, sharing the gospel message. So bringing up a rabbit trail with maybe a question that you don't know, you don't answer, it's great to write that down and, you know, let's look at it next time we meet together, or let's study this later and talk about it and come back. Remember from the lesson with Brother Rob Whitaker, there was 308 questions. 308 times Jesus was asked a question, right? Do you remember how many times he answered specifically? It was 3, right? You remember how many times he answered a question with a question? 183. I wrote it down because I felt that was important. 183 times he asked a question in return. So not getting caught with rabbit trails, you know, let's write something down and talk about it later. You know, he talked about 3 things like defer, don't debate. This isn't the time to debate. We're going to defer. We'll come back to it later. Or, you know, show, don't tell. Don't read the scripture for him. Let him find it. Take the time to find the scripture. Turn to Exodus or Acts or whatever it is and have them read it to us. And then remember, our goal is to plant seeds, not to pick them. Our goal is to plant as many seeds as possible. So in addition to sharing the gospel, there's something we also have to do. We must establish a baseline. So here's a list of questions that we can talk about with them. Gathering intel is how Brother Rob put it. Gathering intel and always eating. So sitting down to a meal and finding out about someone, learning about their past, where are they at? We need to establish this baseline to help us know where to start with sharing the gospel. Every evangelism, this is an important step. We need to do this before we begin. You can fill out questions, have them write down, you know, how they came to Jesus or how they started their spiritual journey. So this is an important thing to write down with them. If it's a note card, that's how Brother Paul taught it in our class. Writing down on a note card their journey, where they started, asking these questions. Because you're going to start differently if they're an atheist or agnostic than if they've grown up their whole life going to a different church or something like that. Someone that believes in Christ versus someone that doesn't. So you need to know where to start. But make sure we write down. We need to confirm when they think they went from being lost to saved. All these questions are going to establish that baseline. If they don't write it down, it's just easy for them to agree in the end. They can just agree. But if we have this note card to say, well, how does Scripture compare to how you were saved? We can physically see it. I'm a person that has to physically see things. Even if it's something I've done wrong, I have to see it to learn and to grow from it. So we need to write it down. It may seem like not a big deal, but we need to make sure we write things down so then we compare it to later when it comes to the end lesson, the end of the study. You know, how does it compare? Did you access the blood of Christ when you were baptized or not? This is Satan's sneaky way of making people think that they're saved, that they're doing the right thing. So we need to make sure that we cement this when we do our studies, with sharing the gospel. Again, when we pull out this card as reference, when we get to the end of the study, did you do this or did you not? Were they saved before they were baptized? Do they know? Again, when we're talking about different things to help. You know, Brother Rob had these 3 little books. He always pulled them out. The kids and everything, they recited it really quickly, didn't they? These 3 little books. Lesson 1, Lesson 2, Lesson 3. This is a great resource. We have lots of them back on the back table. If we want to use these, anyone can use these. These are a really good resource. We also have one thing that David has put together is business cards. So we're going to pass out some business cards. Something we do in our work life is we pass out business cards. It gives us an easy way to communicate with someone. We give them our business card. It tells them who we are, you know, what we do, what can we do to help. So we can do the same thing in our spiritual lives. We have these business cards that tells us about the West Huntsville Church of Christ. We can use these. You can keep them with you. You can put your contacts on there. If someone's not comfortable with talking on the phone with you, you can put text me at your number, you know, and then you can get a text or call or phone or email or whatever you want to put. There's space to write your contact information. So if you meet someone while you're out and about, when you're at a restaurant, if you're at the gas station, something like that, you meet someone, you're going to the movie, you meet someone, you can put your contact information on there. Hey, I got something you might want to hear. Some good information, some good news. This is a great way to keep those contacts, to make contacts with people. Again, these business cards are going to be on the back, the new podium thing, back there in the entryway. These business cards are going to be there. The Back to the Bible is back there as well. We have the online resource, the Bible study on the website. You know, again, people at restaurants, you can hand these out. This card offers, you know, it's a personal thing. You got your number, your email, or whatever. If you've met someone, this is a great way to share the gospel. If they say they're not ready to hear about it, maybe they scan the QR code and they still take a look. Maybe they have something go on, they have something happen in their life later, and they have the card, and they pull it up, and that could be the seed that's planted. Thank you. So let me know when you're ready. You know, these are great, great things. Lots of areas on here to write contact information, scan the QR code. You can use the PowerPoint online as well. Remember, our goal is to plant seeds. We can all plant seeds. There's always something for us to do. Of course, we don't have to use the business card. Depends on how you know the person, but again, this is a great opportunity to be able to reach out to someone. Also in the bulletin, another way that we're kind of keeping track of contacts and how many people we're reaching out to on the, for the record, West Huntsville, there's baptism, there's requesting prayer, there's new members, and then there's contacts. So when you have a new contact, we need to make sure that we fill these out and we update the front office so they can put down contacts in there. So if you've met with someone, if you've got someone that you want to pray about, someone that you've met, someone that's going through something, the contacts, we want to make sure that we engage our brothers and sisters so we can pray about it. We need to share it. We don't know about it if we don't share it. So it's important to share so we can pray about it. Keeping track of these things, they're going to encourage us as brothers and sisters to share the gospel with those that truly need it. So make sure that we keep track of it. And we share it, and we pray about it. 15 contacts in there, we can absolutely pray for those 15 contacts that we're able to share them the gospel and to bless them with the good news. So again, our job is to spread the seed. So remember to pray about it. Pray with your brothers and sisters. Name them by name if we know the name. It feels so good when a brother or sister talks to us and they say that they've prayed for us specifically by name. That is so important. If we know who those contacts are, name them by name. Pray for them to the Lord. And don't fear rejection. In Luke 10, we need to not be afraid to tell others the good news. In the society today, in all the political correctness and everything that goes on in the world, we need to be willing to share the gospel and not be afraid. Whatever you want to do, you know, the world says, don't judge me, just do what you want to do. The Lord does not teach this. This is not his philosophy. It does matter what we do. And if we're going to be rejected, we want to be rejected sharing the word of God. Remember, like we said, we already know how this life ends. And we want to share that with as many people as possible. Far too many choose the safe, the inoffensive path, and they never mention Jesus. We must be willing to let Christ take over our lives. In Romans 6:11, we're alive to Christ and dead to ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about what we think, but it's about what God thinks and what God wants of our lives. If we're going to grow, we must be willing to move to new and grow into challenging areas that maybe something is not really familiar to us. A great story about change is in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Peter's name changes. It's not because Jesus didn't like his name, but it was to make a point. It was to signify a change in his character. When we became Christians, we became a new identity, somebody that people would not recognize before we were buried in baptism. So in regard to evangelism, maybe we didn't evangelize well before, but now we're going to go forward and evangelize and share and work together as a team and know that we're not alone when we do it. No power or force can force us to remain timid, not even Satan. By becoming a Christian, we accept this challenge and we're going to build a new life for Christ. God is on our side. We are unstoppable. We are unstoppable. We can do this. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, real quick, we'll finish up with this. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, if you turn in your Bibles. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are lights in this dark world." If you read the verse before that, in Matthew 5:13, we are the salt of this world, but if we're no longer salting and doing salt things, then we might as well be thrown out because we're useless. In Romans 12:2, as Christians, we are supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like everyone else in the world. Once we realize that everything here is temporary, it does help to make it easier for overcoming that fear and sharing the gospel. We just have a few more days. We don't know how long we have left. Some longer than others. But we don't care about what man thinks about us. We care about sharing the gospel and doing what we're told to do. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our effort is not in vain. So that's my lesson this morning. Hopefully we all have courage to share and evangelize and know that we have tools. We have each other's back. Appreciate everyone's time. Thank you for listening so intently. And have a good rest of the day.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.